Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, November 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. When the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 30,000 for the first time yesterday, it marked a 62% gain from its low point at the start of the pandemic in March. But it wasn't just Wall Street's big investment houses that pushed the market to its record highs.
March really presented a unique opportunity for a lot of investors where they saw a 30% decline as an incredible buying opportunity where they could now finally get into this market and enjoy some of the gain. Couple that with the fact that in some cases, people lost their income. Their jobs were shut down. They were furloughed. They were maybe laid off. You know, several investors talked about investing as filling a void for them, whether it was financial or just time.
Our markets reporter, Michael Wursthorn, will explain the role that investor psychology is playing in the market rally and why the next several months are going to pose a challenge to day traders and individual investors who are tempted to keep their money in stocks. That's after the break. Yesterday's record day on Wall Street comes as the economy is still searching for solid ground, and new rounds of pandemic-driven restrictions are going into place around the country. So how long will the market run, and how risky is it for individual investors who have their livelihood and their 401k tied up in stocks? For some answers, let's bring in our markets reporter, Michael Wursthorn. Michael, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So to what extent has the run-up in the market in the past 8 months, you know, defied conventional wisdom about smart investing in the market?
I think there's two things that investors are both happy to see, but also struggling to grasp. You know, one of them is really just the fact that stocks have really disconnected from the economy. I mean, the economy by no means is at its pre-pandemic highs, yet the stock market, you know, here we are in uncharted territory with the stock market making fresh highs and the Dow Jones Industrial Average reaching this this very significant milestone, 30,000. On the other hand, too, though, is the fact that stocks are really the only game in town. So investors understand, you know, why there's just so much interest in buying stocks. I mean, you look at, you know, everything since the Fed made its commitment that it's not going to let the economy falter during the pandemic, has, you know, it sort of reset the board in terms of expectations of assets. You know, you can't really expect a lot out of treasury bonds right now, and equities overseas aren't looking that great. So stocks are really the thing that's caught most investors' eyes.
Okay, so stocks are the only game in town, but how much of a risk is this market for investors who are watching college education money or retirement funds?
Prior to the pandemic, people talked a lot about the stock market in the sense that it was one of the most hated bull rallies ever. And really what a lot of people meant by that is that they missed out putting their money in when stocks were really getting going back in 2010, you know, mid-2009 when we were getting out of that bear market, and that they just never felt confident to put their money in again at another point, thinking that the market was going to fall apart. March really presented a unique opportunity for a lot of investors where they saw a 30% decline as an incredible buying opportunity where they could now finally get into this market and enjoy some of the gain. Couple that with the fact that in some cases, people lost their income. Their jobs were shut down. They were furloughed. They were maybe laid off. You know, several investors talked about investing as filling a void for them, whether it was financial or just time too in that sense. You couple all that with sort of this idea that stocks aren't all that risky, which is certainly the idea some investors believe, whether it's right or not. People are willing to take bigger gambits. You know, the fact that you can do it all from your phone, like Robinhood, it certainly played a huge part in fueling this trading, along with the fact that trading is free across the board. It cuts out an expense that, you know, for the less money you have, the bigger part that it's eating into your overall income if you're paying those trading costs. So it's these confluence of factors that have really sort of inflamed investors' general sense of risk-taking to a level that, you know, we just haven't really seen before. You know, the question is just sort of, you know, when the party stops, what happens then? Nobody's really thinking about that right now at this point. People see stocks going up, and as long as you have the Fed in that role, as long as COVID doesn't seem like it's getting completely out of control, it seems like people are pretty keen to keep their money or even add more money to the stock market at this point.
You know, it's really come down to a handful of stocks that investors have gotten excited about and have largely propelled the rally. Where have they focused their attention?
So a lot of those fall into this new category that grew out of the pandemic, and that's the work from home stocks, really. A lot of those are the growthy, momentum-driven stocks that we've talked a lot about throughout the course of this rally over the last several years before the pandemic briefly interrupted it back in February and March. So these are companies like Apple, Amazon, Netflix. You know, they're some of those very well-known technology names with some new sprinklings in there, like DocuSign, CrowdStrike, Tesla certainly being in the mix big time, you know, these last several months. So in a lot of ways, it's the same stocks we've been talking about for a long time. But the pandemic has reshaped the economic outlook for so many companies, and really for those technology stocks that's enabling people to continue to live their lives in some sense of normalcy, they've found a whole new way to move even higher at this point.
Yeah, you know, this whole stay-at-home world we're living in right now has really given rise to a new crop of day traders. They have little else to do besides trade stock and try to score quick cash. How much have they been behind this rally?
That's one of the really big themes in terms of what's driving the stock market is the huge increase in participation of retail investors. You know, we've seen throughout this that retail trading is double what it was last year. Basically, you know, what we're seeing right now is that before the pandemic came along, people were already having an increased interest in retail trading, trading stocks on their own. And that was largely because brokerages across the board had cut commissions. You couple that with the fact that stocks took a massive dive of 30% back in March, along with this rebound, people just saw a perfect opportunity to jump in the market. And in some ways, they could do it a lot cheaper than ever before. They didn't have to pay those trading fees that usually come with every transaction they make. So it's propelled this whole new class of day trader. And it's even bigger than that in some ways, because it's not even just the day traders. You just have maybe some retail investors that are putting in a few trades a day. They don't qualify as your technical day trader, but you know they're doing something that they would have never normally done before. And it's really been a huge component in terms of why we're seeing the stock market get through a lot of the tough headlines and some of the downbeat economic news we've seen on some days.
But isn't this a bit of a new world for day traders? You know, even for the younger generation of traders, known as the Robinhood traders because they trade on the Robinhood trading platform. And what I mean by this is that market watchers have said that to capitalize on the market going forward, you may have to hold stocks. And that requires some discipline.
It does. And this is what's going to be sort of the really interesting test for the market in the months and really possibly even years ahead is in some ways, you know, stocks are going to have to grow into these multiples that they're trading at now. I mean, the stock market really has gotten ahead of itself, but it's always been this forward-looking vehicle to determine of, you know, get a determination of where the economy is going. So, you know, if people see earnings continue to grow, if people continue to see the support in the market, like the Fed, for instance, too, it's going to keep stocks from really falling off this incredible ledge that they put themselves on over these last several months. How those retail traders end up reacting to all of this is really the big mystery. Do they continue to buy, or does something make them skittish where they get out of the market en masse, and then you could see some real convulsions there? You know, we've seen small bouts of it, like in September, for instance, where stocks have sort of traded sideways over those periods where people were more skittish. You know, headlines like around COVID, that's going to be the real test. If those numbers look a lot worse, the economic recovery doesn't look like it's on track, those retail investors, you know, could be really tested and they could decide to leave the market in some capacity that we're off those highs.
But Michael, how big is the fear factor out there, especially for people that are keeping an eye on their investments and, you know, watching their 401k? You know, the Dow bottomed out as the virus was taking hold of the economy, and now we're seeing a new round of restrictions.
The one thing that's helping the market get through some of this is that the restrictions we've lived through in some capacity already, they're not a surprise for the market. The question is, what is going to be that headline, that point of data, that comment that's really going to spook the market, be a surprise, be something that people aren't anticipating? You know, that could be where we see some real volatility in the market on the scale of, say, back in March in some instances, is going to take that real shock factor. Some people have even speculated if it's something along the lines of the Federal Reserve saying they're going to lessen their support. You know, so far, that's not the intention of the central bank. They've said that they continue to see a great need to continue to support this economy. But I guess on the other side of all of this is the other thing that's really played a pivotal role in stocks' resilience this year is that people have been really conditioned to buy the dip. So, you know, we've seen time and time again throughout this rally, and March is the most extreme example, but there's been others where whenever there have been moments where stocks pulled back because of some of these fears, there has been a willing and able crowd to step in and push those prices right up higher. It stretches all the way back to the financial crisis when things fell and eventually rose again. And that's really become a conditioning for investors that stocks seem inevitable in terms of their rise at this point.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Michael Wurstorn. Michael, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. We'll be off tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, but back here on Friday with a new edition of your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.